Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10. As we go through the book of John, we keep in mind that John wrote these things so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing in Him, we might have life in His name. This morning, we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 27. In John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt that noticed that people weren't listening to him when he greeted them at the White House for visits. After standing in line for a while, they would shake his hand, and they were so enamored with him or the very house that they were standing in and so excited that many times they were oblivious to what he would say to them. They would just respond, "Oh, thank you, Mr. President," or "Very nice to meet you, sir," and so on and so forth. But one day, during a reception, FDR decided to try an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he calmly whispered, "I killed my grandmother this morning." Amazingly, each one of them, oblivious to what he had said, said things like, "Oh, wonderful, keep up the good work," or, "That's marvelous, we're so proud of you." Until he came to the end of the line where there was the ambassador from Bolivia. "I killed my grandmother this morning," he mumbled. Unaffected, the ambassador leaned in and whispered, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." A lot of times we aren't listening very carefully. But you know what I've noticed is that in our culture, in our day and age, that we do everything that we possibly can to stay connected with other people. We are communication masters as far as technology goes. We have cell phones, we have pagers, we have call waiting, we have email, we have instant messaging, we have message machines. Now, of course, people are wearing their phones on their ears. I was in Long's the other day, and a woman had her phone on her ear. Of course, that's Bluetooth technology, and it's just a small piece. She looked like she belonged in Star Trek or some sci-fi movie, but there she was, mumbling, talking, and we almost look like crazy people sometimes. Of course, that's Bluetooth technology, but did you know that they're developing new technology to install phones, not in Bluetooth, but in real teeth? It might be called yellow tooth technology. Actually, they're putting it inside the molar of people's teeth. What will happen is, of course, the brain or the head, the cranium itself, becomes the antenna, and the jawbone becomes the speaker connected right to the inner ear. This is being funded by the National Endowment for Science and Technology in London. Once it's fitted into a person's tooth, their head is the phone. People think we're crazy now. Wait till we have voices in our head. You'll have to trade in your mobile phone for a molar phone. You've never been chewed out on the phone until now. Could you imagine what it would be like? "I've got my teeth set on vibrate. Wait a second, I'm getting a call. Just a second." No, I can't talk right now. I'm sorry. I'm with some people. "Wait a second, I'm getting another call. It's for you." "Wait, I can't hear you. You're fading out. Can you hear me now?" The things we'll do to get reception and to talk to other people. All this to be able to communicate with other people. But what about our communication with God? The Bible says we were created in the image of God. We were created to know God. We were created to communicate with God. Will technology help us? Not necessarily. Because God speaks the same today as He always has. And here in John chapter 10, 27, Jesus issues a promise that I hold on to dearly, and I want you to hold on to it as well. This is a promise that Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." With all the voices and distractions of the world today, it's so important to come back to this truth that Jesus is speaking clearly in the world today. The Lord is communicating today with those who will hear His voice and listen. Let's pray. Father, we ask You that You would open our ears so that we could indeed hear Your voice. Speak to us in a way that we can understand through Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in John chapter 10, Jesus has been speaking of himself as a shepherd. A shepherd in those days and in the East was not like a sheep herder that we might think of today in the West. In Jesus' day, a shepherd was very personal with his sheep. The sheep weren't raised for meat, per se. On occasion, they would eat lamb, but for the most part, sheep were used for their wool and for the milk. Of course, the shepherd would wear a cotton tunic. He would have a leather cord belt. Around that would be slung a little leather pouch to carry dried fruit or small stones for the sling that was also on his belt. The sling was used to ward off predators from the sheep, but it was also used to draw wandering sheep away. An experienced shepherd would be so good with a sling that he could sling a stone within inches of a sheep's nose that was wandering off. It would immediately come back. It was made of two leather cords and a leather little sheath or leather pouch. The two leather cords were tied to both ends. One end was wrapped around the shepherd's arm. The leather laid within his palm. The stone was placed into the leather pouch. It was folded over and he'd hold the other side. So when he opened his hand, one would open and that stone would fly out. The Bible says in the Old Testament that there were hundreds of men in the army of Israel that could sling at a stone from about 100 yards away and hit a hare. They were so good at this. Well, this is what the shepherd would use. He would use a sling to ward off predators, but to draw wandering sheep as well. Another item that the shepherd had that he would have attached to his belt was a horn of oil. Oil was used by the shepherd to anoint the heads of the sheep in the flock. Of course, it was to repel insects, but also to reduce the friction that would be caused when sheep would act like goats and begin to butt one another. Also attached to the shepherd's belt was a small club-like instrument called a rod. He used this to fight predators up close in kind of hand-to-hand combat situations, knocking wolves or dogs. David, of course, said that he fought a lion and a bear and struck it on the head. The shepherd would also use the rod to sometimes conk unruly sheep that were getting out of line to remind them to not nip at the other sheep or go astray. Finally, in the hand of the shepherd would be a staff. It was about 7 or 8 feet long. It had a crook in the end. Of course, in the pictures that you see in your mind, you see that large staff, sort of like a cane. Well, the shepherd would use that many times to draw the sheep back when they started wandering or started going off the trail or out of bounds. The shepherd could reach and hook that around their body and draw the sheep back. And so with this picture that the people had of a Middle Eastern shepherd in their minds, Jesus began to call himself the Good Shepherd. And that's what John chapter 10 is all about. Jesus is calling himself the Good Shepherd. It was an appropriate illustration for them. They understand what a shepherd did. They understood from their history that many of their greatest leaders were shepherds. From the very beginning, as a matter of fact, Abel was a shepherd. He tended the flocks. The greatest leaders of Israel, Abraham and Moses and David, were all shepherds. We read that Job had 14,000 sheep. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, and Zechariah all drew analogies from sheep and shepherds. But the people here in John chapter 10 are upset at Jesus because he's taking the title to himself as the Good Shepherd. You see, the title shepherd of the people of Israel was something that was reserved for God and God alone. In Psalm 23 verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Psalm 80 verse 1, the prayer goes out, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. God is the shepherd." Psalm 95 verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand," as we sang this morning. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "We are the people and the sheep of his pasture." Ezekiel 34 verse 31, God says, "You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men and I am your God, says the Lord God." And finally, in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, this prophecy is issued of the Messiah. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms. He will carry them and gently lead those who are with young." So here Jesus gives us the promise, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Why is it so important to hear the voice of a shepherd? Well, if you're a sheep, it's the most important thing in the world. The simple answer to the question, why is it so important to hear the voice of the shepherd, is this is how the sheep are led. See, Jesus doesn't lead his sheep by driving them. He doesn't drive them like a butcher would. A man told a story once of being in Israel and seeing a man drive the sheep and whipping them. And he said, don't you know that shepherds don't drive sheep, they lead them? And the man said, well, I'm not a shepherd, I'm a butcher. See, shepherds don't drive sheep, they lead them. And that's what the Lord does for us. He leads us, but he leads us with his voice. He doesn't tempt you as a hunter might. He doesn't herd you with a rope and with a bit or a bridle. He leads you. And how does he lead you? He leads you with his voice. That's the way the Lord leads you. See, sheep are not very noble as far as animals go. They're dumb. And without shepherding, they wouldn't have survived at all. As a matter of fact, right after the fall, after the Garden of Eden, of course, one of the first occupations that you see is shepherding. I imagine it was something like this. Cain and Abel and maybe their brothers and sisters and Adam and Eve looked out on all the earth and they saw all the animals, some great, some mighty, some with sharp teeth, some with sharp claws. And then they looked over and they saw a little sheep. And they said, well, somebody better take care of this animal because it's going to get eaten up. And that poor animal, you know, immediately Abel was a shepherd. And I would think that without shepherding, sheep would quickly get killed off. They're not very smart. They follow after one another. Even if they walk off a cliff, a sheep will walk off the cliff as well. Isn't that dangerous? Nah. Whoa, there they go. They're gone. They're history. They'll wander into a lion's den. They're just not that strong. See, the Bible likens us to sheep. It doesn't say that we're mighty or noble. As a matter of fact, it says not many of you are mighty. Not many of you are noble, but you're simple. And God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And so it's important for you to hear his voice because that is the way he leads you. He doesn't lead you in any other way. He leads you with his voice. See, for us, we don't live by that rule, the survival of the fittest. We live by the survival of the listeners. For us, it's pray or prey. It's pray to God or become the prey of the predator. See, in a society like ours that's increasingly saturated with this sort of postmodern philosophy that says there's really no opportunity to hear God's voice, you can't hear the voice of God. Jesus' statement stands in such contrast to that. Think of what he says. My sheep hear my voice. Just the idea, just the fact. Pause for a moment to realize that Jesus Christ speaks today, here, and now. Jesus says that his voice can be heard, but the world says his voice cannot be heard. The world will say, you cannot hear God's voice, you cannot be led by him. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. It's totally and radically contradictory to the dominant ideas of our day. These ideas and this philosophy is presented pretty much in all aspects of life and art. In Ridley Scott's most recent movie, Kingdom of Heaven, the main character, Balian, played by Orlando Bloom, finds himself in Jerusalem seeking for forgiveness from God. But in one scene, he says this, God does not speak to me, even on the hill where Christ died. I am losing my religion. Losing my religion. Why? Because God doesn't speak to me. Of course, those were very close to the lyrics of R.E.M. sung by Michael Stipe many years ago. Losing my religion. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it. You see, the problem is that people are seeking for God in a religion, but they cannot find him there. And so the message that the world presents is that God cannot be found because we have not found him in religion. Well, I could have told you that. God can't be found in religion, but he can be found in a relationship, the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. See, God's not running away from you. You don't have to catch him. You don't have to find him. He's not hiding from you in religion. And if you look there long enough and hard enough, you'll find him. See, many people seek to hear God's voice in a religion. And religion cannot discover the voice of God, but its voice is heard in a relationship possible through Jesus Christ. The danger for us as Christians is to allow this non-Christian worldview, this worldview in which God is silent, to dominate our thinking. See, this worldview is constantly seeking to displace our relationship with God. It's constantly seeking to replace worship with works. Constantly seeking to replace relationship with religion. At the height of the Cold War, when espionage ruled the day, listening devices were everywhere. Phones, flowers, paintings, typewriters, pens. They could all be bugged to get a piece of intelligence. And the Soviets were very good at that. In 1946, Russian schoolchildren presented a 2-foot circular wooden replica of the Great Seal of the United States. That's the symbol of the eagle that you see on your dollar bill. It was presented to the American ambassador. We didn't know it at the time, but it was bugged. The ambassador hung it over his desk, and for the next 6 years, it monitored every conversation and phone call that we had. This bug, called an electronic eavesdropper, was only the size of a pencil, and finally they discovered it 6 years later in 1952. See, incredible efforts in those days were made to conceal communication. But by contrast, God is not like that. You don't have to bug God's office or put transmitters in the angels' typewriters to get a clue. There's no secrets. God's not hiding from us at all. He's very plainly and very clearly speaking to anybody who would listen. And that's what Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. The communication of Christ is not an anomaly. It's not a glitch in reality, but reality itself for the believer. For the Christian, for God's sheep, hearing His voice is an everyday part of life. Hearing God's voice leading and guiding us is normal. He's constantly speaking. And we have to have this idea firmly lodged in our mind, because the Bible says those who come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. So the first thing that we need to do is establish clearly that Jesus speaks. When you come to the Word, when you come to church, when you go to worship service, when you get together with that friend to pray with them, realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ wants to speak and wants to lead you. Hearing His voice is that thing that enables you to follow Him. That's how He leads you. But where will He lead you? He leads us by speaking to us. That's how He leads us. But where? What's it like to be one of His sheep? Jesus says here in our verse, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. That's a nice thing, to be known by God. I like what David says in Psalm 23. Would you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23? We're going to look at this psalm very briefly to get a picture of what it was like to David to be one of His sheep. We read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First of all, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want can be understood to lack or to need. So the Lord is my shepherd, I won't need anything. I don't need to crave or to want, because God gives me everything I need. Being God's sheep means that God provides every single thing you need. There's not one thing that you need that God will not provide for you. That is His promise to you as you hear His voice. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as we know Jesus better, His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Being His sheep means that you won't lack anything.
David also says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides still waters. Lie down in green pastures. Well, it doesn't really mean that the sheep lie down. Don't picture in your mind a sheep flopped over on its side. It really means to recline. The idea is when sheep fold their legs underneath them. It's more literally translated, he makes me recline on nice grass. This pictures the rest that God wants to bring us into. You can almost picture this lamb, legs folded under him, blinking and sniffing in the breeze, perfectly reposed on a rich field of waving grass. It speaks of the rest and the peace God wants to bring us into and keep us in. One version reads, you let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful waters. God's sheep are led by his voice into a place of peace, serenity, away from the chaos and the turbulence of life, peace that passes understanding, it's called. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. David also says, he restores my soul and guides my paths in righteousness for his name's sake. To restore means to bring back, to replace that which has been depleted. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like all the wind has left your sails? The pale deadness of life really had offered no hope to breathe anything into you again? Well, this is what David is talking about. The Lord actually breathes new life into me once again. How many of you can testify when you're at the end of yourself, you found the beginning of the Lord? The Lord breathes new life. But why does David say, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Well, David was a shepherd. And David knew that as a shepherd, you could tell a lot about the shepherd by looking at the sheep. If the sheep were ratty, haggard, worn out, they had panic in their eyes, afraid, fear, everybody would know that they had a cruel and careless shepherd. What kind of shepherd do you belong to? See, God's sheep are not frightened. They're not loaded with thistles and stickers because they haven't been led through those fields of weeds. They don't have seeds and hitchhikers and thorns and bristles hanging off of them. Their eyes have peace. Why? Because the Lord leads them in paths of righteousness. See, walking with the Lord will lead you in paths of righteousness. You won't be weighed down by the baggage that comes with a sketchy life. God's sheep aren't burdened with the sin and the worry that goes along with it. Yes, we do stumble at times. But our lifestyle has been changed in such a way that we don't look strung out and hung up. We're not burdened with the guilt that goes along with a sinful lifestyle. The lifestyle that the Lord promises to lead you in is one of holiness. If you walk with the Lord, you'll never have a hangover, ever. You'll never be worried about STDs. You won't be afraid of being caught and going to jail. You won't be caught for shoplifting or for fraud. See, this is a path of righteousness. And what happens is your life is one of peace. You're not freaked out and paranoid all the time. People aren't spying on you. How many times have you met somebody who's just lived a life of drug abuse and abusing their bodies? And you go, wow, you're a wreck. Well, because heroin is their shepherd and not the Lord. See, the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness so that when people look at your life, they say, wow, you've got a good shepherd. He has been guarding you for his name's sake, you see. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Those who are the Lord's sheep don't need to fear death. This is what it's like to walk with the Lord. Hebrews 2:15 says that we were delivered from the fear of death, which we were subject to all our lifetime, that bondage. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, our shepherd Jesus has, quote, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul says in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, that he was persuaded that neither life nor death could separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 57, that when this corruptible body has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? See, even though we walk through the valley where death seems to be looming over us, there's really no fear. Now, I'm not saying there's not a fear of dying, but there's not a fear of death. I don't look forward to dying, but I do look forward to being with the Lord. And that's the way it is for God's sheep. Even though death is there, I don't fear evil because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. In Revelation chapter 1, it says that Jesus holds the keys to hell and to death. We also read in chapter 21 of Revelation that there will be no death at all. We read, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God's sheep don't need to fear death because the good shepherd has borne death for us. We also read in Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We talked about the rod and the staff very briefly. The rod and the staff of the shepherd were used both to punish wolves and to discipline the lambs. David speaks of the power here of God the shepherd to keep his own. You know, it's not the job of the sheep to keep the shepherd. It's the job of the shepherd to keep the sheep. Sometimes we panic thinking, I better keep God. You can trust that the Lord is going to keep you. If you're his sheep, don't worry about it. It's not the sheep's responsibility to hold on to the shepherd. Cling and stay as close to the shepherd as you can, but realize that God is the shepherd and he'll keep you. You're his sheep. Don't be worried. The rod and the staff comforted David. It's comforting for the sheep to know that the shepherd keeps them. The staff might be used to pull a stray sheep back into the fold. Or maybe if he's fallen down a ledge, the staff would be used to reach down and hook under his little front arms, and the shepherd would pull him up alongside the cliff until he could grab him. Of course, the rod would be used to discipline sheep. Predominantly, it was used for punishing those wolves and animals that would come in sort of hand-to-hand combat, but sometimes it was used as an instrument for correction. If the lamb walked away, the shepherd might conk his little head, get him to come back. It's dangerous out there. Lions want to eat the sheep, but the shepherd wants to keep the sheep, and so he would conk his head. Now, if he continued to wander and to wander and to wander, the shepherd would sometimes use the rod to break the legs of the lamb. Once the lambs were broken, he would set them and put the lamb on his shoulders until those legs were healed. When it was time that the lamb could walk on his own again, because of the bonding that took place during that time, that lamb would never wander far away from the shepherd. See, discipline is something that God provides to you, his sheep. The Bible says if you're disciplined by the Lord, be comforted by it. Don't despise the day of chastening. See, because the Lord uses that to bring you close to him. Those who are not his sheep don't experience discipline from the Lord. Things might be going wrong. You find yourself caught in some devious doings. Maybe you're found out in a lie. You find out that things are starting to be unearthed. Things aren't going your way. You're walking down a path and you feel like God's conking you on the head. Well, that's because he loves you. That's because you're his sheep. Being his sheep means that he's going to keep you close to him. David also says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I can almost picture this. The shepherd with his squinting eyes, ever watchful of the predators on the outside or the outskirts of the sheepfold. There he is looking into the sunrise with the dust, looking for any wolves or dogs or foxes or mountain lions that might pounce on his sheep. David knew that wolves weren't afraid of the sheep, but they were afraid of the shepherd. That's a good lesson for you and I. The devil's not afraid of you, but he is afraid of your good shepherd. So stay as close to him as possible. See, David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even when the enemies of David were near, he knew that the Lord would sustain him. He knew that the Lord would feed him. Sometimes it seems with us, even under the fiercest persecution or hostility, you sense a sweetness of a presence with the Lord. In some countries where persecution is so great, you find the sweetest fellowship among believers and worship, because the Lord prepares a table for his sheep, even in the presence of their enemies. David also says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." We talked about that. Of course, oil was used to pour on the heads of lambs to keep insects away and to soften the budding of the brows. Sheep butt heads sometimes, and the oil would deflect the blows. Have you ever seen a boxer where they put Vaseline on their head so when the blows come, they get knocked off a little easier? They don't stick. The full impact is not there. The Lord anoints his sheep with the oil of the Holy Spirit to soften the blows that you might take. Oil is also medicinal, like Neosporin. It allows sores to heal. It keeps insects away. David saw how the Lord had done this for him. The Good Shepherd delights to pour his Holy Spirit on you. The Holy Spirit deflects and softens the blows. It lubricates the relationships that we have with other sheep. It's the grace that God has anointed your life with that enables you to forgive one another. Well, you really rubbed me the wrong way, but the Holy Spirit has covered my head with oil. Well, bud, we really butted heads on that issue, didn't we? Yeah, but love covers a multitude of sins, and that's the way it is with God's sheep. Surely, David says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you know that if you're leading, if you're being led by the Good Shepherd, you're also being followed? Somebody's following you. Well, goodness and mercy. When I was a kid, we had a lot of cats, and we named one of them Goodness and one of them Mercy. And they would follow us around. But when I was a kid, I thought that these were three words, surely, goodness, and mercy. But this is a saying of David to indicate that it is sure, definitely. That is, mercy is hot on your trail. Goodness is pursuing you and chasing you to bless you. You are going to be overtaken by blessings in life as you follow the Lord. It's a guarantee of the Scripture. David says, surely. There'll be trials, certainly. But in that, the Lord's blessing will overflow your cup. Those who hear his voice and follow him, this is true of them. Blessing, abundance, fruitfulness, the Holy Spirit. Finally, as we come back to John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do we as Christians hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? In the Old Testament, we read that Elijah heard the voice of the Lord. You remember, he was in a cave. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind ripped the mountains, and it broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. We read, after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, the Lord speaks in a still, small voice many times. And we have to pay very close attention. How do we hear the voice of the Lord? Well, I'd say, first of all, reading and studying God's word is a primary way of hearing the voice of the Lord. The Bible is God's communication. And when we read it, we should treat it differently than we do a newspaper or any other literature. Sometimes when I read the scripture, I'll have a notebook with me and I'll take notes and I'll ask questions that are on my heart. Sometimes I'll ask questions and I see if the Holy Spirit prompts me with answers. And I'll keep a journal of that, just writing down my thoughts. And many times I find that the Lord leads me through those things because it's his word. See, reading scripture isn't about pushing my thoughts into the Bible, as many people like to do sometimes, but it's about getting God's thoughts out of the Bible. Reading the Bible is enabling us to think God's thoughts after he thinks them. He's written them in the word, and I am washed in it. It's hearing his voice. Unfortunately, some people don't see the Bible this way. For example, I read an article in the New York Post just a couple of days ago on May 13th, 2005. It was an interview with Jane Fonda. The interview was done by Liz Smith. Liz says, "Jane, many people are interested in your having become a Christian after being an agnostic most of your life. What kind of church do you go to in Atlanta?" Jane: "I'm searching for one, but I haven't found one yet. And Liz, I am a feminist Christian." "So you believe Christianity in a broader sense than the fundamentalists?" And Jane responds, "I believe people have different ways of approaching the word. For me, it's a metaphor, written by people long after Christ died and interpreted by specific groups. I read the Gospels that aren't in the Bible. These make me feel good about calling myself a Christian." No, Jane, no. God's Word is not a craft that we cut and paste. God's Word is not where I insert and inject my opinion. It's something that I am submitted to, and when I come to it, I read to find out more about Him. God's Word is where I hear His voice, not where the world hears my voice. The way to understand God's Word is the simple way. It's been said that the simple understanding of the Scripture is the correct understanding. See, we're called the sheep of His pasture. That's not a very complimentary thing, because sheep aren't very smart. Sometimes I wish He called us the dolphin of His pod, or the scientists of His lab. Something that would sort of stroke my ego. But He calls us sheep. And when we go to the Word, just read it and enjoy it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, long for the milk of the Word, that you may grow by it." Another way to hear the voice of the Lord is through meditation. Don't be afraid of the word meditation. I don't mean it in the Eastern sense. Eastern meditation says that you should empty your mind and fill it with a mantra. Many times the mantras are simply names of spirits. But the Bible says that we should rehearse the verse. In other words, think the Scripture over and over again. Go over it and examine it. Meditating on God's Word is found throughout the Scriptures. David loved to meditate on God's Word. I like to think of it as nursing the Word. It says, "As newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word." And I don't mean only nursing it, but in a sense that a nurse guards over a patient and examines them, looking at them at every angle. How do you feel? Can I do something for you? Can I bring you something? Taking the Word like that, in the sense of meditating on it, what does this say? How can I look at this from a different angle? Nurse the Word. Wait on it. Go over it again and again. Examine it. Savor it. Sometimes I like to meditate on a verse by emphasizing each word or each term in turn to see how the feeling of that verse goes. For example, the verse that we're looking at this morning: "My sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice. Or, "My sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice and I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There's so many different ways that you can understand God's Word in this sense. They follow me. I didn't even think of it before, but think of the fellowship that we have walking together. Jesus says, "They follow me." And if they follow together, they follow in fellowship. And so by meditating and memorizing the Scripture, we become sort of the herd of His Word. We rehearse and we nurse the verse. Many times when I'm dealing with a specific situation or a conflict in my life or in the life of another person, God will bring to the surface of my mind a Scripture that I have either memorized or had been meditating on regularly. And it applies to that person or to my situation directly. And the Lord speaks in that way. Many times when people will come for counseling or ask for advice, one of the first questions that I and many other pastors will ask is, "Have you been in God's Word?" And if the answer is no, all I can say is, well, there's not much I can say to you if you're not going to be listening to the voice of the Lord in the Scripture. And so we know the voice of the Lord through that internal conviction of his truth, confirmed in his word. It's that abiding peace that governs and directs our thoughts and our actions. Also, I think another way of listening to the voice of the Lord is in worshiping, ministering to the Lord. We read in Acts chapter 13 that as they ministered to the Lord, the Spirit said, ministry is not always serving other people. You can minister to the Lord. And during worship, when somebody is able to just let go, sometimes these are the greatest times of singing and worshiping the Lord when I've experienced a certain level of intimacy. Maybe it's alone. Maybe it's kneeling by the side of my bed. Maybe it's laying in bed with my hands raised up to the sky. Maybe it's out in the woods, laying on my back, looking up at the blue sky through the branches of the green trees. Maybe it's worshiping the Lord together in a congregation or a group of people. But it says that as they ministered to the Lord, He spoke to them. God may speak to you through visions or through a word of wisdom or knowledge. I would encourage you to let yourself go as you worship the Lord. Pour your heart out to Him. I found that some of the greatest times that I've experienced is when I've just let myself go before the Lord, just poured out my heart. And maybe it's not all about my emotions toward the Lord or my struggles, but maybe it's just, God, it's all about You. You're the good shepherd. I can't believe the way You've watched over me and guarded me. It's amazing, Lord, to look at Your work in my life and the way You've sustained me over the years, the way You've surrounded me with good people and love, the way that You've provided for every need that I've had, the way that You've healed me when I've been sick, the way that You've just given grace to me when I've failed. Oh, God, You're so good. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in the presence of the Lord, right at the hip of the shepherd, and you sense His hand upon you. That's when you hear the voice of the Lord. I think another way is to desire and to seek the gifts of the Spirit. The New Testament tells us, earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit. I would say that this is remaining connected. Sometimes we get so upset when our cell phones go out of bounds, when we get into an area that we don't have connectivity or we are out of reception. Many times we'll just look at those bars on our phone until we drive into an area that we can make a call again. But sometimes we're not so nearly as upset when we begin to walk down a path and we lose receptivity with the voice of the Lord. We know we're going in the wrong direction. We know we're wandering outside of that range that He speaks to us. And the only message that He has for us at that time is, come back. Come back. We need to turn off and turn off that road and come back to the Lord. Sometimes I find that I am so busy in my mind. I can be tired, not physically, but mentally. And I need to turn off the radio. I need to turn off my phone and go offline and shut the TV off. We get so cluttered up with stuff. Have you found that sometimes you go to pray and all of a sudden advertisements will come into your mind, or a certain TV show that you've watched, or that solitaire screen pops up in your mind? The things that you've been doing, well, the Lord wants us to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that He is God. See, the world is constantly demanding your attention. When we leave here today, the world will again begin demanding our attention. We'll drive by, the advertisements will begin speaking to us. Buy this, drink this, shop here, eat this, more of that. Listen to this radio station. Watch this TV show. Go to this movie. Sometimes we have to just stop. I have to find a quiet place and make my heart still before the Lord so that I can listen. And I can wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is so important. Pastor Charles Swindoll found himself with too many commitments a few years ago. He got so nervous and tense about it. He wrote in his book, Stress Fractures, I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions of the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable, he says. I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly saying, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, Honey, you can tell me. You don't have to tell me really fast. You can say it slowly. He says, I'll never forget her answer. She said, Then listen slowly. Listen slowly. Sometimes we want God to speak and we want Him to speak now. We get down to pray and say, God, give me patience. Hurry up. You know, God, I'm waiting on you, but I don't have a lot of time. Find time, make time, listen to the voice of the Lord. I would encourage you to cultivate a heart of sensitivity to Jesus. Clear away those things that block your receptivity. The heart that hears the Lord is a soft heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden His heart. One day I was hiding from my kids in the living room. We had company over, and I love to play hide and seek with my kids. And so they would go in their room, and I would hide behind the chair or behind the wall or behind the door or under the kitchen table or behind the counters. And they kept going back into their room, and then they would come out screaming, looking for me everywhere. But this one time we had company over. I like to play when I have guests over. But I don't know who it was. Maybe it was my parents or some friends. And I told them to go back into their room. And so they went back. And instead of hiding, I just sat on the couch with the other grown-ups. And so the kids came running out, and they're looking everywhere. They couldn't find me anywhere because I wasn't hiding. You see, the Lord is not hiding in church attendance. He's not hiding in religion. He's not hiding in a performance record, and if you think you look there, you're going to find Him. You're not. He's right there in plain view. And He's saying, My sheep hear My voice. If you hear My voice, just follow Me, and I'll know you. There was a drunk man who was seen looking for something under a street lamp, and a passerby stopped and asked him if he could help. This inebriated fellow said that he had dropped his bus fare and couldn't get home without it. So the man began to help him, but after a few minutes of searching, this helpful man asked if the drunk was sure that he dropped his money there. No, he replied. I lost it up the street, but the light is much better here. If you've lost something, the best place to find it is where you left it last. Jesus said, You've left your first love, Revelation 2:5. Remember from where you have fallen and return. He says a chapter later, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with Me. You know, if you hear the voice of the Lord, open the door. If you're having trouble hearing, try finding a place where you have connectivity or reception. Clear away some of that junk. Find time to meet with the shepherd. He'll lead you into green pastures. He'll grant you that rest and fill you with His Holy Spirit. What a great promise that stands in contradistinction to the world's view that says, you can't find God. Lose your religion. Well, I would agree with that. Lose your religion and find your relationship. And as Christians, don't be lured to the temptation of moving from relationship to religion. Don't allow the stiffness of routine to seep into your hearts, but allow God to refresh you and be fresh in your love and your walk with Him by listening to His voice, His promises that He speaks. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the Good Shepherd and that You've just asked us to follow Your voice. Lord, there's not a whole lot that a sheep can do. Lord, we can't perform for You. We really aren't smart enough to impress You. There's nothing we could build to make You say, wow, or to please You, Lord, but You do ask one thing, that we would recognize Your voice and follow You. And Lord, we can do that. If there's one thing we can do, Lord, You've given us the ability to hear Your voice, Lord, as You've given sheep the ability to do one thing, not to defend themselves, not to fight the wolves or the lions, but to stick close to the shepherd. So, Lord, help us to draw near to You. As Your word promises, those who draw near to You, You will draw near to them. And so, Lord, may this word sink into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.